one.
Yes, we are.
Okay, welcome to Citizen K. Classes are dedicated to Slugging and Misha.
I just visited him the other day, by the way. On Sunday night, I went to Bundy.
You went to Bundy.
I went to Bundy. Went to Avi Marshall. Went to the Rebbe, obviously.
And as usual, everyone and anyone is welcome to Brooklyn.
Shidduchim. You're by yourself, Eric.
Well, let's read it. Remember the Shulam Rashi. These are the verses for the people of the Lord. And it goes on, I was redeemed, my soul was redeemed in peace and bravely from the family of my seven. In Abin way more. Because amongst the multitude I was standing, everybody was against me. You do, and it is known that she put the cousin of Shabbat and was walking down the Ula. And it is known from the Alpha. So let's stop for a minute and just remind ourselves that this Shulam for the last 2 weeks of this week and the next week are all on the theme of Yud-Tes Kislev. Yud-Tes Kislev called the first day Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus. And as we learned last time, Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus, just like on, I don't know if you actually learned this, just like on Rosh Hashanah, the last deed of creation occurred, which is the creation of man down here below, from the dirt. So this Rosh Hashanah itself is an example of the principle that's exhibited in this Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus, which is that the beginning is wedged specifically in the end. So in the original Rosh Hashanah, the end is the dirt. It's the bottom of everything. And from that, Hashem created the crown of creation, the human being. He injected, so to speak, his essence on high, the most deep part of himself, into the lowest of the low. What does that correspond to? This we did very much. It corresponds to the saying of the Mashiach to the Baal Shem Tov, that when will you come, Mashiach, when will you come? When your wellspring spread out to the lowest. And the lowest of the low, of course, is planet Earth and its lowest levels, the level of physicality. And that's the objective of the Chassidus, in a nutshell. To bring essence of God into physicality and reveal in this physical world the highest lights, the beginning, which is wedged in the end. So it's not inappropriate that it should begin with difficulty, battle. Chodeh b'shalom nafshi, David HaMelech writes, I was in a war, everyone was against me. And it's known with Mashikos of Kodesh Kodesh's Admon Azok, in the altar of everybody, it's the Baal HaGa'ula. He is the one whose redemption is on Yud-Tes Kislev. He writes in Megillas HaKadosh Shalai, he writes in his holy letters, B'negeh L'gula D'Yom Tov Kislev, in regard to the Yom Tov of Yud-Tes Kislev, he writes, B'shkarisi B'sefer Tehillim, Pasuk Chodeh B'shalom Nafshi, when I was reading, he was in jail, and when he's reading this particular pasuk, in this particular Tehillim, before I began the next pasuk, I went out from peace. And then one of the names of Hashem is peace. So I went out with the help of Hashem. I went out exactly at the time that I said peace, which is Shalom is the name of God. That name of God, that God took me out. My redemption was announced. So his redemption, and therefore the content of the maimer we're going to learn, which we just started, which is a maimer of the Rebbe, you see at the top, Tav Shin Lamed Hes, that's roughly 1978. The Rebbe writes this. This is this Ban Morim, of course, on this pasuk are written over and over and over every year at the time, this time. So he writes, because of the fact that he was redeemed just after having said this pasuk, there is some intrinsic connection between his redemption and this pasuk of the Bashalom action. Is there movement from this? It's understood.
The Mittler Rebbe, and here we're going to go into, before we go into the Inyanim, a little interesting history which deepens the notion of the essential nature of this Bittul Tilum to redemption. Because it's also connected with the Mittler Rebbe. Mittler Rebbe's Geula was on Yud Kislev, Shehish Sheyefes La'inyin, the Padva Shalom Nafshi, and then which also has a relationship to Padva Shalom Nafshi. Why? Because this kapitel is the kapitel that we say when we say kapitel at every day of the month, as we do. So on the 10th day, this kapitel is set. And the 10th day of Kislev was the day of the Mittler Rebbe's redemption. We can also connect this with the other long explanations that are given. In other Maimorim, the beginning with this pasuk, the Gam Hameula the Yud Beis Gimel Tamis. It's also connected with the Yigula of the Fidukin.
How?
Well, for the first, the Fidukin is Mamalad Mokam. He's the one who fills the place of the one who came before him, and he's the one who comes after Ad Zokin. We're skipping. We're just going to
right.
The one who's connected with this particular kapitel. He also is Shayach, has a Shayach as a relationship to the Bishlam Rashi. Why? In the Mukuk, as you have to say, because Shekame Maimori Yud Beis Gimel Tamis Maskil in the Pasuk Zeh. Yeah, Fidei Rebbe chose to begin many of his Maimorim with this Pasuk. So he also felt something special about this. V'yesh L'Lamad, Inyan Zeh. Now, let's talk about what's it special about this part of Bishlam Rashi and these particular events. So let's talk about this, which is, he says in the practice, the relationship of the Geula to Pada Shal Nafshi. And I'm just saying that on my own. He says the Geula in general, you could read, because he doesn't even qualify it. There's a relation, this is a Geula Dikka Parsha, a Geula Dikka Pasa in Til. It's about Geula. And so you could say, one can say that this idea, Shaya Gamazesh, Gulodion to Kis, the voice of the Yamashlishi, Shapukul Baki Taish. Today is Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
which is the day of Ashir,
mm-hmm.
which is the day in which when God created, he doubled the Lashon of Kitar. He said it twice. Two things were created on this day. He gathered the waters together, dry land appeared, and he said Kitar, that it was good. In addition, all the vegetation sprouted all over the planet on this day. So this day, Tuesday, and this day, which is the third day of the week, three always has a special relationship to redemption because it's the inter-inclusion of both sides, right and the left. So this day, which is the third day, also is another indication that this is a very special day because it's the day on which Hashem doubled the language of good. And this is also, is the third month of Chodesh HaChodesh. In the summer months, you have Iyar, Sivan, and then Tammuz. So as it starts to warm up, the third month is Tammuz, and then the days of Yibo Tammuz is a redemption of the Kedavah. The Gamadul Yitz Kislev, the Yom Yibo Tammuz, Vaibashlishi, and they were all on the third day. Agula the Yud Kislev, the Chodesh HaShlishi. They were all on third threes. The Geula of Yud Kislev was on the Chodesh HaShlishi, the third month. The Geula of the Yud Beis Tamis B'Yayim HaShlishi on a Tuesday. Shukuk Vekutay. The Yikar Achidush, the Hakosev, Pada V'Shalom Nafshi. So the main news. The main news of Pada V'Shalom Nafshi is not so much the redemption, but rather the manner of the redemption, as we said at the beginning, right? Pada b'shalom, and he touched it, Mehashem shalom, from Hashem, who is the one whose name is peace. So not only was it redemption, but it was, we could say, a direct intervention of the hand of Hashem. Yeah, when we finish the sentence, we could ask. Then, because of the dia, he b'shalom. The Shlishi who Indian Hashem. Three is the Indian of peace. Why is three the Indian of peace? Because three is the reconciled, the intermediate, the middle path that balances right and left. So, any questions?
Got it.
Let
me know.
Oh, he was being pursued by a sword and stole.
Right.
When that was,
okay.
He wasn't in prison. He was in prison. He was in the middle of the battle.
Right.
He was redeemed, saved in the Karabi, right, from the battle that I was engaged in. When the multitude rose up against the rebellion, he was facing the rebellion. And he was redeemed. Peace. All right. Anybody want to think on it?
Okay.
So in this pasuk, part of the Shulam Rashi, you can understand it in two different ways. This is from first Menachem.
There is a pasuk that Padre the Shulam Rashi through Shachar Shvarach or Padre Shachar Tzidkim.
So the first, the simple meaning is Tzidkim, Padre Ana, Tzadik Ador. Is that he was redeemed. Right?
Right.
That Hashem redeems Tzaddik. Whether you're looking at the simple meaning of the topic as it refers to the redemption of David, Hashem is redeeming David. That Hashem redeemed him from the wars that came upon him. As it says, as we spoke about in the Gemara in the Talmud Rishonim, it tells us that this part of Bishol was written on the occasion of David's redemption from the war that was rebellion was led by Avshalom. The Kenu, similarly, very similar, right? All of these are all redemptions, redeemings of tzaddikim through miraculous, through divine intervention. And it all goes to say the simple meaning that God is redeeming the righteous.
The
second explanation. Okay. We started with there's two. We started this paragraph by saying there are two ways to explain this. So far, we've explained it in a very simple way, right?
Okay.
I, the tzaddik, have been redeemed. The Hashem from God.
So
Hashem said, hello, welcome. Come on over. Let's hold on here. Let's pass it over. You want to leave the door open? All right. So since Aaron walked in, brief recapitulation.
Where are we holding?
We're holding over here in Firush HaDeis, four or five lines down. We're explaining the meaning of the Kapitul Tilim, Pada B'Shalom Rashi, the famous Kapitul that was the author Rebbe was saying at the time of his redemption, and this kapitel is in this day that he was saying it, the 10th of the month, is also good Thomas, is also connected with the redemption, the Friedrich Rebbe, the middle Rebbe was also redeemed, he was redeemed on Yud Kislev, which was the 10th of the month, and this is the kapitel. So this kapitel, in short, has relationship to the redemption of a number of Kabbalah Chassidus Rebbeinu. And now what he's explaining, what can we learn from? What can we take away from? So first we looked in Ois Beis at the top at the simple meaning of the Pasuk. The simple meaning of the Pasuk, Pada B'Shalom Nafshi, that God redeemed me from my troubles. Now we're on Pirush HaBeis. And there's
the same. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Pirush HaBeis,
So we start. The Chazal tell us, that, and it tells us in the Gemara Brachos, that Hashem says, the Holy One, blessed be He, says, everyone who occupies himself in Torah and acts of kindness and prays with the tzibur, and just by observation, these are the three fundamentals, Torah, avoided mitzvah, sadim, on which the world stands. Anyone who does that, it's as if he redeemed me. So we're turning this pasuk around.
Oh, it's not that Hashem is redeeming us.
We are redeeming Hashem. Anyone who, Pada B'Shalom Nafshi, it's like God is.
Well, we're releasing.
My
that.
Soul has been redeemed. Yeah.
We're releasing that part of us that's Hashem.
Yeah, the part of the world.
This that we are Isaac the Torah.
We're releasing Hashem in the world.
We're redeeming.
That's what it is. That's Hashem's redemption. It's his release.
Yep. We're releasing. So the person who's occupied with Torah, avoiding the Mitzvah, if you can say such a thing, is actually freeing God. I like what you
said.
That's what I said. Releasing him into the world.
Yeah. It's,
I mean,
well,
captivity.
It's redemption, because this exists in Hashem's Alav HaMachshava. This all of this is in, we're in Hashem right now. And when we reveal it, when we, like, say a bracha on a cookie, we're releasing the godliness that's inherent in it.
Right.
Well,
also,
the Shekhinah is enveloped.
Right. Exactly. I mean, whatever it is, if you call it the Shekhinah enveloped or whatever, it's releasing Hashem. It's tapping into the Tachos HaKavana of the cookie.
Right.
It's to say a bracha on it.
There are two things that go through your cell very nicely. One, he's trapped in the symbol. He's trapped in the, right? And so we're revealing that. And secondly, he's trapped in the exile.
Oh. Well, that is an exile symbol.
And exile is it. He's exiled himself, so to speak.
So that he should have a greater nachas from us.
He should have greater nachas.
And that's the end of the limer. That's the end of everywhere.
Bring
your
stamp
now.
What level of himself?
Well, you're asking too many questions, Larry.
No, it's a good question. Let's go further. At the moment, we're not naming it. We're just naming, we really redeeming him. Now, how are these two related? That the tzaddik, meaning, well, of course, I'm kufulim tzaddikim, all of us are tzaddikim. We are being redeemed. And from the other side, we're redeeming him. What's the relationship?
Well, in each one of the heaven chosen, whether it was a Geula or that Sabbath, there was more of a revelation of
God. In addition to, this is a general thing, that all explanations of any singular person have to be related to each other. So we can say, oh, it just, this is an example. But what's the, what does this particular relationship tell us?
In
so this, that the, these Maimorim, we mentioned earlier, Maimorim of Shulikir Ebbet, and we mentioned the Yom Tov redemption of Midler Ebbet, this, that all of these Maimorim, which are connected with Yud Tes Kislev and Yud Beis Tammuz, which these were the days of these Rebbeim being redeemed in Shalom, in peace, in a simple way. Are brought, move it, there's brought a kama of a kama of it. And many and many, many of these memorials brought. At the beginning of the memorial, the interpretation of Chazal, the interpretation of Chazal that we said above. So we got two points.
Why did he say he left a disciple on something? Why didn't he use that?
Well, he's not answering it. He's just saying, he's just giving us rather superficial explanations. The fact that you do have two explanations of the same and they're opposite indicates that there's a relationship. That's number one. The fact that, number two, that this relationship is pointed out in many different memoriam of a few of the Rebbeim, also indicates there's something special going on. We haven't got to it. Between what? This is brought in many of them at the beginning of the book. And in this is another piece, and in the heads of the interpretations of Chazal. On the Memorim, it's brought at the beginning of the Memorim, and it's also brought at the heads of many interpretations of Chazal, sages. So, this, Zeh, are they Zeh?
Correct.
That's
so
the now we need to understand the two.
He just skipped right before. So this underscores even more that it said the relationship is pointed out. The relationship is pointed out in many midrashim, in many maimoris, and the relationship is pointed out in many of drushim of our sages. So all of this underscores very much that these explanations are related. So first of all, we have to understand the relations. Even though, according to the words of our sages, the Dabar HaKasav, as the scripture says, it points out that when talking also about the redemption of the Jewish people, it also says the opposite, that in addition to speaking about the redemption of the Jewish people, it also speaks about redeeming me and my child and my children. But the Eini Li Ulabani, you've redeemed me and my children. Hidushe Agadas.
What?
In the new things that were said in many of the Agadas, Rasha was a interpreter. He was a commentator, largely on Shulchan Aruch and revealed things. And Shulchan Aruch and Halacha and Gemara.
Last night was his birthday.
Really?
I'll tell you how I know. My brother's been in Ukraine. He's from my nephew's going to show. And I took all the stories. And just last night he went to
Russia.
And he was saying how it was his birthday last night.
He lived in the 1500s.
Really incredible. Yeah, and he's...
He's a famous commentator on all of them.
Yeah.
What's his name? Moreno.
What's his name? His name is Rav Shmuel Eliezer Halevi.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Shmuel Eliezer. You see the Shin Aleph?
Shin Aleph.
Meharav. They call him the Marsha, right? You see Marsha. That's what they call him. Moreno, Ravenu, Shmuel Eliezer. So what are we talking about? Midrashim, it's brought there.
Oh, it's brought there. Shom Shashina, Amra Pada Shalom Nashi, and it's in the
that the Shina itself is talking.
Right.
Shina itself is, now that answers one of your questions. What level are we talking? Shina. What level is Shina? Shina is Malchus. Right? And that's I'm just saying this, it's kind of hard. No accident, it's said by Melech in David. Right? The whole Malchus Beis David, which is the Malchus of redemption, is being redeemed.
The
army is Beis David. Right? So that answers your question. That this redemption is the redemption of the Shekhinah, and something I think Esther, you said, and somebody that. What does it mean that you said that it redeems God from the
really?
Being concealed, is released from really? From being concealed, and I think you said that this is the taking the Shekhinah under God's. So this is the redemption we're talking about. And the two are interrelated. And without even having said it yet, it's getting kind of clear that through our doing Torah, Vodikas, and Sodom, that's the operation, that's the instrument. We're taking the Shekhinah out of Exodus.
Right.
Okay. Good.
I finished it, but I'll go back to Imakrabi, right? Malashim is driven behind me.
Yeah. So in these Agadas, the Shah speaks about it's obvious that the Shekhinah is speaking and saying, my soul has been redeemed through the battle that I've been going through. Lashon Kiruvim. And Kiruvim is not just, it can be taken as a double entendre over here. Kiruvim is broadly is battle, but Kiruvim are close relatives. And that's what he said above, right? But these are Yisrael, but any Liu Bani. So we read it that I'm redeemed and my son has been redeemed, my children as well. So, now here's another interesting little twist. All of what we just said, however, we've got two things that are being redeemed, right? The Jewish people are being redeemed, and the Shekhinah and their child is being redeemed. All of those refer to the one who is Anifod, the one who is being Avo. But in relation to the Redeemer, according to the simple meaning of the Pasuk, so who's the Redeemer?
Hashem.
Right, and according to the second Kiddush, the Redeemer is us.
Right, that's my Kiddush.
Right, that's right. So, by the way, we're getting very beautifully. Let me just finish that, then come. You're getting beautifully into the details. But remember, this is all in the context of Yutes Kislev. This is a Yutes Kislev event. Both meanings. What he's trying to say? The Yutes Kislev has a special power. It's a redeemer, a redeeming.
Okay.
It has a special power of redemption, Yutes Kislev. And the power of redemption is twofold. That we can be redeemed through God's Hashkoach, and that we can be instruments of taking God Himself on us. And those two inyanim are crystallizing in this particular day, Yutes Kislev.
It's a waste.
Just, you want to say anything?
No, I have a question. If my memory serves me right, wasn't he in the middle of saying this pasuk when he actually was released?
Right.
He was saying to heal him, and it came to this pasuk to stop him.
He said before he began the next one. In other words, while he was in the middle of this one, absolutely. He was redeemed. Now this relates, this little comment, then we'll move on quickly, to what we had learned before about Chutzot. Just a little reference here.
He's also talking about the
Beis Hamikdash. He's comparing to the different rebellion, and their individual Kadei B'Shalayim.
That's actually what I wanted to say. Having connected all those, we started a week or two, last week in particular, talking about the Chiddush of Yutes Kislev over the Chiddush of the revelation of the initial revelation of Chassidus, which was to the Baal Shem Tov. That was a big deal. But the revelation of Chassidus comes in stages, and each stage brings the revelation lower and lower and lower. And in answer to the question about, that's one of the reasons that I believe we're mentioning all of these Rebbeim, because each and every the Mittler Rebbe brought the Chassidus down to another one. He's called, his famous sefer is called Imre Bina. The Alter Rebbe was Chochma, the Mittler Rebbe was Bina, the Tzemach Tzedek is Teferet, and it goes down. So we're bringing it lower and lower and lower.
You know, jump from something.
Huh?
Oh.
Oh, okay. I skipped. You're right, I skipped. But
so
it's the same meaning, because Hoffman and Kessler are on the right, and Bina and Gabor are on the left, with the Ferris and Kassim. I could have started with the Alter Rebbe is bringing down things from the right side. Kessler, but I started it. Yeah, I should have said.
Another question. What day was it that the Balsam told them the Maggid appeared to him in the cell?
I don't know, but he did say that it was on the third day of the week that he appeared to him, on Tuesday.
Was it the same day?
No, I don't. No, I don't know. That it was the same day. The Gula of Yud Beis at Gimel Tamas. The Gula of Yud Beis at Gimel Tamas of the Friedrich Rebbe was on a Tuesday, which is the third day of the week. Look at this.
These are sparks to be released, Rabbi Kamen. That's what she brought.
So you want to release them now?
I will pass on this opportunity at the time being.
I think we're ready to start this game.
Easy now.
Okay.
No, it's all good. Whatever.
All right. Go ahead. I'm not ashamed. So, the beginning of bringing the Torah of Chassidus, Chutzah Sheva Chutzah, to the outside of the outside. So, the humans have a head from but there anyone else wants to do? So, just to bring this in, we're in the middle of saying this pasuk, Father B'Shalom Ashi, can be read two ways. That Hashem redeemed me, and we redeem Hashem.
Okay, where are you, Gimel?
Yeah.
Okay, the humans there, the half deem, Shagimel, Hanyanim, the Torah.
This can be understood by understanding first these three things. Here comes the number three again. Three is playing time over here. The third day of the week, etc. This further can be further understood by prefacing that these three topics, Torah, Gemilas Chassadim, and Babel,
with a minion, Sha'al Yadam Hadaini Li Validni.
Which through them, through us doing, learning Torah, doing Yisrus, and Babel, we redeem Hashem and His children.
And Gil Amudim Sha'alehem Ha'ovam Omed.
This is Pirkei Avos. You can understand that the Torah, the Torah, and the Torah. These are the three pillars that the world stands upon.
What is this?
The Mishkosa and the Chadushi
Agadis. The Chadushi
Agadis,
Mehar Shah, Sham, the Al. What is this? The Al Derek Zeh?
The Al Derek Zeh also.
The Rashba. Who's Rashba, Sham?
Rashba is Rav Shimon Ibn Aderek.
Oh.
He was a banker. Rashba and in Barcelona.
He was a banker.
And a Talmudist.
Yes. He was a what?
Banker.
A banker.
And a Talmudist.
Talmudist.
I mean, he was a big
banker in Spain.
Sure.
Good luck. You grinded very well. You grinded really well.
But you're asking where the bank is now?
The bank was in his home?
No.
He had a commute. He took the train. Before the Inquisition.
When Columbus said to Americans, 1400, it was financed. Financial services.
The Jews were in charge of all the money.
Yeah, but they forced them to be the bank.
Yeah, I'm just going to put the words right out of my mouth. One of the reasons historically that Jews became so good at money is because they were outlawed from doing anything else.
Also, we have to shut
school. They couldn't own property. They couldn't go to the universities. There were universities also. Mm-hmm. Back from the time of Noah. Shouldn't shame the name. Yeah, but we couldn't do that. So we had to figure out something. So we figured out. Money.
ומכיוון שקיום ועמידת העולם הוא על גמל עמודים אלה.
And since the whole standing up that the world stands is as a result of these three pillars. Three is no by accident. It was tripod. Tripod is the minimal you need in order to make something stable.
It's also the most structurally sound shape.
It's what?
The most structurally sound.
Structurally sound. Exactly.
Triangle is the strongest. An architecture.
Absolutely. Because if you have a four-legged table and one leg is no good, it's not going to fall. But three legs of any leg.
They all
stand. Understand.
Listen.
I don't know, but...
You know.
I think that's Roman architecture.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, sorry, Martin.
And since these three things are
architecture.
Yeah, since these three things are so important for the world to stand. Go ahead.
Okay. The Gimel in Yanim Ela Hayugab Bethilas Habriya.
So we have to say that these three things existed. Right? Torah, Avoid the Venus Hassan. Right at the beginning of the creation. Let's go for it and we'll see this.
Okay. ואף שידוע שבריאת העולם הייתה מצד כי חפץ חסד הוא.
Even though we know from other places, from Scripture, that Hashem created because he wanted to do kindness. Mm-hmm. It's a kindness. He chafetz chesed, desire to do kindness. That's why.
ורק עכשיו,
And it's only now, meaning after the creation, that the continual standing up of the creation depends on us. Now that's a thought, I mean, is everyone comfortable with that?
Wait,
do you understand that? Or is this something new? God created, there was nobody around. God created because he wanted to be. From the moment on that he created an Adam on the planet, the continuation, the continual drawing out of God's kindness depends on us. It is Sarusa de la Sata, the arousal from below, and on the arousal from below is dependent the continual existence of the creation. Right?
Okay.
Nevertheless. Since the whole intention of the creation, right from the outset, is for the sake of the Jews.
There's Rashi.
And for the sake of the Torah. Right?
Something gracious. Okay. It's the footnote is what I cited. Okay. Sarich Loimar.
Gracious, gracious. He explains it.
Yep.
But one way of looking at gracious.
Sorry,
gracious. Two heads. And what are the two heads?
The
Torah and Yisroel. Yisroel and the Torah. Yeah, gracious. Torah is gracious. Chokmah. Beginning is wisdom. The Jews are gracious to us.
Tarich Loimar, Shagimel inyanim eila heim amude ha'elam gav betchilas
havusoi. So you have to say that these three things, Torah, avoided the Minas HaSodah, they are the pillars of the world, even at the beginning of the world coming into existence. This, what this means is, when he said, I want to do kindness, right? Or chesed, yeah. Chafetz chesed, that he desired to do kindness. He also thought, how am I going to do it? And it's the thought of Torah, avoided, and the Minas HaSodah existed in a primordial state before they actually were instantiated down here in the creation. Get that?
So the obvious question is if there wasn't a necessity for Chafetz Chesed, like in the beginning, right? So why is it now it's on us to keep it going?
Is that for the same reason that he wanted to create in the first place? Why does he want to create? He's not lacking anything.
Right.
He's the wholeness. He's the shlem of the fullness. That's not exactly. He's the wholeness of them.
Right.
So his creating can't be understood as his missing something. It's a what's called chafetz chino or chesed chino, a kindness that's just gratuitous.
Meaning he didn't desire it?
He did.
Doesn't that already...
It's a desire. Yes. You see, on our level, desire implies you're missing something. You're wanting something to do.
You want.
So, and that's, it's going to give more of a shlemus to you to get what you don't have. You can't say that about God because he's the ultimate shlemus. So when we say that he wants something, we have to just change gears in our head a little bit. We said he wants, but not because he's missing. He only wants because he wants. And you can't answer the question, why does he want? Because you can't know it, you can't know his mind. He just wants. He wants. Chafetz Chesed. He wants to do kindness. Okay?
It's somewhere, yeah. It's an anthropomorphism that we can't...
It's an anthropomorphism, yes, it is, but the Torah gives it to us.
Right, right.
Like all the mashal. The whole Torah is called the mashal hakadmoni, primordial mashal.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. What he's saying is extremely important, that since everything in the Torah is a mashal, meaning that it's delivered in words so that we can apprehend it, at the same time, we have to know that we can't apprehend it the same way that it is by us, right? But it gives us an ability to have some kind of a relationship to it.
Right. So I'm trying to understand the concept behind Chafetz Chesed. What's the conceptually without the anthropomorphic body to it?
Conception. Can you imagine in your inner minds the pensveros, bakmadinavas, esigurat? That's a structure, right? And that structure is imitated in every one of us. We all have 10 powers. The bad, right, left brain, middle brain, etc., etc., right? Above that structure is a hat, a head, a crown that has nothing to do with the intrinsic operation of the body, right? At least the power is something removed. The king can take the crown on and off, but he's still in the stature of a human being. However, when is his kingliness effective in his kingdom? When he's crowned. Not until the coronation. Okay? So this level of chafetz is called the crown. It's the crown. It has no definition in the way that the structure has, but it's the driver of all the distinctions. Like when you coronate the crown, he's now can act with his body and his mouth, and he gives edicts, etc. But before the coronation, he's royal, he's fit to be king, he's not yet king. And that's chafetz is part of the crown.
Good explanation.
The chafetz is part of it. And we don't have, there's nothing you can ask about.
Right.
It has no name, it has no description, it has no structure. But it's raw, infinite power. And in that raw infinite power is invested this notion of wanting to create. And similarly, in where we are now, in addition to the raw desire to create, there's embedded in it a notion of how he's going to create. He's going to create with Torah, Avodah, of the Minister Son. And that's the meaning of what we just said, that even at the very beginning of the creation, before there is the Torah given, even go back earlier, before there's man on the planet, right? Well, I think we will come across this also. There's an expression of that at that level of chafetz, he consults with the souls of tzaddikim. The souls of tzaddikim aren't created yet,
right?
But they're envisioned in his mind as instruments for how he's going to bring about the creation. Now, just to make it more simpler, if it's simple, if you're going to, let's say you want to create a painting. So you start to think about, what do I need to create the painting? I need a brush. I need paint. I need a canvas. So far, you don't have that stuff yet. But it's there, they're there in your mind. And because they're there in your mind, they have some reality. Conceptual reality, if not physical reality. But similarly, all the stuff of creation, Torah, avoiding, Gemilas Chasadim, and the Adam on the planet to do it, the seer, the whole form of the Adam, is in his head. And that's called the ten hidden spheros. The spheros, the ten, the structure of a human being goes through levels from God's chafetz, from his will, into his wisdom, and it runs, evolves downward and downward. So he has these three in God, Torah, Vadim, and Sassadim, Gan B'techilasa Hisavusa, even at the very beginning of bringing things into existence. Okay?
The Ha'inin who...
So now we're going to explain what I just explained, but now he's going to explain.
Hine Yadua Teres Harav Humadi, the Teres Kved Kavishis Adonai Namrin and Rabbeinu Hazakin.
Okay, stop. Now, this is very, very stylistically... this does his style of recapitulating all the names of the Hasidic Rebbeim is often brought in all these memorial books. So he didn't mention about Shemta, but he's mentioned the Mahdi, and he's mentioned Ivar Zakhin, and earlier he mentioned the Midler Rebbe and the Friedrich Rebbe. So it's known amongst the Torahs, the things that the Rav HaMagid said, and amongst the Torahs, the things that the Alter Rebbe said.
Nekreif Gam Al Shemai,
which are also called on his name.
Al Maimer.
In other words, the Alter Rebbe said what he said in the name of the Mezid Shemai. What did he say?
Al Maimer Rizal, Da Ma Lamaila Mimach.
Okay, so the Chazal say, you can see the footnote in Kirbe Avos, Da Ma
Lamaila
Mimach. Rizal is Rabbi Seinu.
Rabbi Seinu.
Our Rabbi. What's the same privilege? Know what is above you. Look in your. What in you? Take this one. This is rather simple.
This is a big one.
Person should live knowing something above which is responsible to.
Know that what is above is from you.
That's the Torah of the Magid. So the Torah of the Magid says the very same words. Know that there is something above you. And he takes it to say what? That everything which is above comes from you. You could read it exactly the same way. Know, right? Is that Ma Shalamayla, that which is above, is mimor, is from you. And from the continuation, the continuity of this inyan over there, it's understood.
Right.
Before you even start, is there. When God envisions man in his chafetz, in his crown, everything that's going to occur, God, you know, past, present, and future, though past, present, and future don't exist by the future. It's all one. So anything that we would say is going to happen is happening. Well, they do. I mean, they do. It's in the eternal present.
How do you even have a low self esteem?
Right.
Like,
it's a
powerful person, that every little thing you do, it changes the entire structure of the universe.
Right, and that is going to happen. I mean, that's the principle of life. That everything is in a state of, they call it uncertainty, until you look at it. And then it's happened.
It's kind of like Da Ma, you know, or right. Dai Ma. It's like a contradiction, right? Know what? You either know, or what is it, right?
Okay. That's a good one. He's not saying that.
But it's a similar concept. Right.
It's a similar concept. And you should know that there's Ma that you don't understand. And that you should know that Ma is a function of the level of knowledge that predates actual knowledge. And we would go forever with this, right? So the whole thing, the notion here, trying to say it as simply as I can, that since the eternal, they call them, they translate the name of Hashem in English, I am, they call the eternal. Eternal means that there is no past, present, or future. There's no time. Time is a creation, right? And likewise, there's no place. Up, down, north, south, east, and west. Yet, all that exists somehow in a more amorphous form, or a more cognate, a more primordial form, in the mind of God. So it doesn't not have any existence. It does have existence. And Shagidei Avodas Ha'odim, I'm reading now, through the service that we do, Nasa in the Maila, we create that idea above, Yam Koidim HaAvoda, even before it's done. All right, circle now, Jesus.
30 is paper.
Let me see if there's anything in it. This,
The Kamay Shakashra, Harava Magit, what is this?
Okay. Mishkas Harava Magit. So he said, let us make man in our image, right?
Shehu kamashal adam sheyesh loy ben, matar goydel havasai alav nechakaka suras haben b'machshavasai.
This is a simple one. We get it.
It's carved in the father's mind.
So he said, let us make man in our image. That doesn't refer only to the moment when he decided to create man down here below. That refers to a moment beyond moments, a moment before time, which is, I know, self-contradictory, right? When it rose up in his mind, the thought of this thing. And he says, it's a very simple image. When a father, parent, thinks about a child in thought, right? Before you have a child. I mean, personally, this means a lot to me because one of the things that drove me to Yiddishkeit, to become from, was envisioning and wanting to materialize a family. So I can relate very much to this. That it can be very precious to you, even in your thought. The love that you will have, that you are having really in thought, and that you will have indeed when you have children. Way before. Right. So, in that respect, you said, Nechbuko, I'm not sure if you vow it actually. Suras HaBen B'Mashavta. There is engraved, there's engraved in your own thought the form of a child even before the child exists. So, where are we going with that? There's engraved in God's mind, so to speak, everything that will exist. And because it has reality, for us it's a metaphor. It doesn't have, I can't consult with my thoughts. But God can consult with his thoughts because these things are real. They're real. They're really things. And he can consult with the souls of Siddiqui before Siddiqui are born down on the planet. And he can manipulate the way creation will be in actuality from the fact that in relation to how he conceives it in his mind. Just like the image of the child you want is something that exists in your mind before the child is actually.
And the kevan she'etzloi is barach ever v'ha'afid echad.
Since by God, that is the past and the future are one.
V'chein nechaka nechaka.
There's engraved. There's engraved.
U'rasam shal Yisrael.
The form of the Jewish people.
Amoy she'nes
So therefore, is it the form of the children of Israel, Israel, the Jewish people, is engraved, therefore it's engraved in God's mind. Just as the souls of the Jewish people are on the level of being created. They exist in God's mind just as they are, though they haven't yet been created. Can you have you ever visualized something? Then instantiated it. You had an image
of manifesting. Visualizing
and
meditating.
Right.
You think about something that you want. Like, I don't know, someone, for example, if someone's like thinking about they want to buy a red car, they look out in the street, all they see is red cars. It's part of that process.
Yeah,
and the power of our thoughts also.
I mean, let's go back to the painting. The painter has an image in one's mind, or a photographer. How this thing wants to be looking that appears in the loop of the black film of your mind before it actually exists. And then you bring forth things that reflect what's in you. So God, in his mind, envisioned every detail. Every detail.
That's my film.
And that, the thing is, and then that comes back on you. And he now becomes, if you can say such a thing, the author, he is now limited, is limiting himself to create it just the way he thought that one.
Well, isn't a thought limitation automatically?
So it's automatically, yes. It's a garden.
But in our mind, the impossible can happen, like in a dream, like an elephant can fit through the eye of a needle.
Someone told me
the impossible could happen. Our thoughts.
Yeah, but you can never go out of the realm of association. You never come up with anything new in your dreams. You understand what
really?
I'm saying? You're always going to dream something that you thought about or the day before, something that you can grasp onto intellectually, but you're never going to come up with some,
except that you can sometimes dream things that
you can't think about the impossible.
Happen way before you have done.
Yeah, events and things like that. But whatever the substance is of the event is something that you've already...
That's actually what we said.
Yeah.
The substance
Pardon
me? You can put a dream in your head. Excellent. So Hashem put a dream in his own head. Because there's nothing besides.
Is that all we are? Just a dream?
No.
Dream
that he put in his head, he actualized.
So that's our job. We must manifest.
Don't we all want to manifest in our dreams?
So
we're building his image.
Well, technically, if the Shekhinah is enveloped, the Shekhinah is still dreaming.
Isn't what it is.
Life is but a dream.
Yeah, it's all a dream.
Okay.
So he wants to turn his dream into reality.
Right.
Just like, and we're in his dream. We also want to treat
him. So we should be like, we should be like Hashem in the way that we dream and we manifest.
Right.
We have our dreams and we manifest.
So I started telling Foley I had some conversation about something. And he said, well, at least it's gone from fantasy to dream.
Would you please repeat what you just said? I missed that.
What's that?
Lisa.
I can't remember.
Would you please repeat what you said just a minute ago? Hi. I've been here the whole time, but I've been hearing most of it.
We want
okay, would you please just repeat?
Mentality down in this world.
All I said was, I don't remember what the topic was. I was having a conversation with him about something. And he said to me, at least it's moved from fantasy to dream. No, so I take it pretty much, rather than just being a fly-by-night kind of thought, dream is something you want to actualize.
There's shape and there's form.
There's shape and form, and there's desire. There's pushing. There's, you know, passion. I have a dream, Martin Luther King said. It wasn't a fantasy. I mean, it is a fantasy. It doesn't exist yet, right? But he wanted, it's a dream. A dream means I want to make this happen.
The hard part is getting past the time element, because all of us, when we say dreams, we're talking about manifesting future events that, right? But by him, it's not no future, past, no past, no present. So
therefore, it is. It is. Right. It's equally is.
And if it was always eternal in his thought, then where did the beginning come from?
There is no beginning.
Right.
There is no beginning.
Wrap your mind around that one. What is it saying?
Yeah,
the beginning is where the end of the engine is.
That's the
same
Yes.
Right. But that's still...
We are able to tap into that a little bit. One second, Lisa, then you can come in.
Sure.
That which we just said, the beginning is where the end. See what I'm doing with my hand, but you can't see it. It's a top and a bottom, beginning and end, start and finish, implies some time. We're talking about a level totally beyond time where his chafetz, right? The desire, the will, the ruchson, the desire. And in Hashem's, if we could say, in Hashem's consciousness, there's no difference, because difference is not something that can apply to him at all. In our consciousness, in the creation, manifests difference. So we have an experience that what he was thinking about, so-called then, 6 days later, that's the way we think, right?
Right.
6 days later, it came into existence. I'm talking about the 6 days of creation, right? And then only in the sixth day do you have man. Well, that's the way our consciousness works down here. But his consciousness is all of this aspect of the future down here exists all the time for him. And therefore, man, Torah, the seven shamas of the Jewish people are as real then, where they have to raise, as they are now. All right, Elisa, what do you want?
The end was already there.
Elisa, what do you want to say?
I was going to say that even though it appears, and overall, we don't, it truly appears as though we are stuck in the moment that we're in. We really are able to emulate Hashem and not be tied to simply the present of the here and now. Because the idea that when a person does tshuva, if they truly have harata of whatever it was that they did in their past, and they're able to not just change where they are right then, but change whatever the avivas were into mitzvos, then you're still harnessing the past. And if whatever we do, like Avram Avinu, when going to the Akedah, where he turned to everyone else with them and said, what do you see? And Eliezer could only see where they were. He couldn't see into the future to Har Moriah. Avram was teaching us we have to see into the future, that whatever the here and now is, we're building our future. Mm-hmm. And whether it's like Yisker, it's all of the Doros or the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. It's not for one generation. It's for all generations of Klal Yisrael, those who were born, those who are living, those who are yet to be born. So we do emulate Hashem in that past, present, and future in those different ways. We just don't usually tap into it.
Absolutely. That's one of the corollaries of being created in his image. And it's one of the deep responsibilities that we have to know that everything we do vibrates eternally.
Whoa.
That's right. That's a deep. That's a tough cut. Yeah, because if we're connected heart to heart, brain to brain, soul to soul, with Atzmus, with the eternal, is an interesting that they translate the Yudkei as the eternal. Then everything we do, what goes on comes.
Well, eternal is the closest.
Every moment has an eternality. Eternality.
Right, and in terms of that tapping into the eternal, I have to thank Esther. Esther, please forgive me if I'm embarrassing you, but I have to thank Esther, because going through Shar B'Tachon, the idea of this section of Bitachon, this is in the introduction before even chapter 1, when a person truly taps into the concept that Hashem has already spiritually given whatever it is that we need and that it's just going to take place in its physical form for us to see, that may not yet be there, but we're tapping in terms of Bitachon, then we're also tapping in to what's eternal, and we're tapping into a sense of Olam Haba. So it's there for us to tap into. So Esther, thank you, because I'm having a different perspective in tapping in.
Eliza, since I was absent from the Shabbat talk here, I want to thank you.
By choice or by? By exclusion.
Starting
therapy tomorrow, so.
Okay.
It's Eliza, it's tapping into infinity. That's, it reaches a very high level. The popping.
So yes. Let's go through it. Yes. Let me take that and go through it. So having made that point, the Yeserim is there. You know where the place is?
No,
I'm
not.
You're in the Paragraph 33. We're by 33.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. Go to footnote. Okay. Yeserim is there, and even more than this. The form of the Jewish people is engraved in Hashem, right? And we'll just skip the verse. In his gut is there. Gam koydim shenivra. That's where we are. Even before the thing was actually, even before the Jewish people were created in what we call actually, which is
right.
It's not really actually the actual. Is not only way before, but way above time in the first place. And now we can understand what it says in Bereshis Rabba, that when it came to the creation and the act of creation and the desire to, he consulted with the souls of tzaddikim. Well, there aren't any tzaddikim, yeah? No, but nothing's created. This that there was known in front of him, may he be blessed. That he would take great pleasure in the service of tzaddikim. In a kind of olalafon of Yisborah. That's what rose up in front of him. It rose up in front of him, meaning it became front and center in his mind, in his consciousness, if you could say such a thing. The great pleasure that he has. And that he will have in the actual instantiation, making an instance of tzaddikim in the world below. Gam v'fnei, this took place even before the creation.
Then I wonder why, when you go to Rebbe is so tapped in.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. Tzaddikim, doim olam haba. What is the expression? Tzaddikim are compared to the Creator. And what are we saying to the Creator? All of reality, like in one glance, it encompasses everything, not only spatially, temporally as well.
Right.
So it's not, it's a wonder, it certainly is, but at least we get a handle on how is it that somebody can see,
they can see in your soul,
and they can see your past, present,
right.
And future.
Yeah.
Because they're in the level where they're beyond past, present, and future. What?
There's always love about Sadiq in the
world. Sure they are, they're always Sadiq.
Are you one of them?
Yeah.
How do you know? Maybe
you're in the world. The world cannot live. You're a Sadiq of the Sparrow. Yeah. 36.
Mom is
gone.
And there's more.
Yeah,
there's more.
But at any point
in time.
There's
36
hidden and there's
36
revealed.
Yeah,
there are
36.
I'll go even farther.
You want to reveal yourself?
Well, that's what I would. Lord, that's exactly where I was going with before, because we cited this passage before.
I'm
cooking.
Every one of us, to
reach this level.
Yeah. No, the potential, yes. But if you ever read the rest of that,
I just realized that.
What is it? I'm Kulim Tzaddikim.
Mm-hmm.
water carriers.
They were because they qualified.
They were real to the beginning. We're spoiled.
Yeah.
Because we're very spoiled because we have the presence of the Tzaddik Ador. So that he consulted with tzaddikim before there are tzaddikim should now be of no wonder to us at all, because his existence is above before, deeper than before. In a time exists, so this delight that he has in tzaddikim is taking place by him before, in our language, tzaddikim were created. This delight he had in the tzaddikim took place even before the creation. And it's through that delight, this is back to his chafetz, it's that delight, again, like the delight of a parent in envisioning the children that he wants to have, that drove the parent to produce children. So the envisioning in his mind of the tzaddikim and the tainim, the delight that he would have from them, drove him to bring them down in the creation.
That's for the
particular,
right?
Yeah. This is what it means that the three pillars, Torah, Vodim, and Sosodim, they existed even before they existed in the created man. They existed before they were, I keep using the expansion, it's a funny thing, before they were made, you know, physicalized down here in the actual creation. And since God Himself, the Holy One, blessed be, and by the way, Holy One, blessed be He is a very key teaching. These are really two opposites, holy and blessed. Why? Because we've learned in this that the word blessed is associated with bricha. Bricha, you take a grape line and you bend it down into the ground. Comes another sheet. That's called brit, bending down. It's also the word need, barak, which is to come down. So basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us, this is the name of God, the Holy Ghost. He's saying, that which is holy, meaning separate, moved up, that's the way Rashi defines holy, comes down. The world of above differentiation, the crown, it's put on the king's head and gives him the power. The power floats down into differentiation, into edicts, and into kingdom. And that's called Simson, where he takes his allness and he contracts it into definitive channels. That's called Simson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the world that's totally above describability and nameability and shape and anything you can say about it, presses down and contracts itself into shape, names, things, etc. So that's he samsim as he contracts himself, but tzelem shel Yisroel, in the image of the Jewish people. Where is this taken from the creation? Nasa Adam b'Tzalmein. We're Tzalmein, right? And one of the things we've said often about tzelem, the moose is a copy. Like you put a piece of paper through a copying machine, you get another piece. Tzelem is more organically fused with you, because everywhere you go, your shadow is.
The shadow
can't go anywhere. Sail. Sail means shadow.
But Shalom is more.
Yeah. Because on the one hand, we experience here's back to your point. On the one hand, we experience ourselves as separate entities. Copies, right? But on a deeper level, we're not separate entities. We're all part of God's shadow. We're just the shadow of God. What? Tzelem demus tavnisa. Tzelem demus tavnisa. Building.
It's
creation.
Building.
Yeah.
I'm really wrong. Lisa, what's Tzelem demus tavnisa? You listening?
Lisa.
What? I'm here. I put myself on mute, though. Okay.
What's the word tabnise? But tell him to move tabnise. A diltim?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Okay. So tell him. There's two words. It's the moose, we are copy. We're each human. We actually have a similar structure, right? Everyone around this table has a similar structure. 10 powers. Up and being a dance. But at the same time, there's not really 10 of us or any of us around the table. Because spiritually, we all are embedded in the shadow of God.
How can you have a shadow of the
I think we need a L'chaim before we answer that question.
Don't you know enough to that when you have contradictions, you find truths? I mean, one of the names that the Kabbalists speak about, refer to Hashem, is Noisei Hafokim.
What's Hafokim?
Hafokim is opposites.
Opposites? Oh, Hefa.
He is the one who can carry opposites. Darkness and light are the same thing. Past and present are the same thing. What are the two, you know?
Same for Maya.
You just said, how can this be that? What did you say?
How do you have shadow, which is embedded time and space, something which is beyond time and space?
So the idea...
Boom!
The idea,
that's your answer.
The idea of Tselem is not really embedded in time. The idea of Tselem is that there's an essential connection your shadow can only go where you go. We call it two things. The sun's shadow.
Yeah.
Right? Peter
Pan.
Right. But the idea of Tselem is that they're so fused that they can never be separate. So that's how Tselem, from the perspective of all of creation, is embedded in it beyond any sense of separation. Then at the same time, and that's called the higher level, the higher perception. Let me just finish that. That's the higher level perception. Ain't owed no by him. There is nothing besides. And the other level, the Das Kafka, the lower level, is that there are a lot of different things. And that these lot of different things owe their existence to the one thing. A lot of different things owe their existence to the one thing, or there is only the one.
Doesn't mean that.
Is that difficult to really, really, really grasp the truth?
Is this a question you're asking or a statement?
Both. Because if truth is the crux of truth, like the center of truth, is everything around it is like opposites and isn't. But the truth is truth. If something is on its own, how do we even grasp that? How do we grasp that? I'm saying, like, it's like the two opposites, within those two opposites is the truth, but then, like, I don't even know, like, how do we even exist? Like, what? Truth exists because Hashem allows it to exist, because Hashem is the truth. Hashem is the centrality of these two opposites. So how can, you know... Like for court cases, like they're deliberated on certain things that are fact, you know, factual. They can deliberate for.
Yes. That's
why.
Go ahead. So what? What's the problem?
The problem is like how do you get to that point of truth?
Where there is no differentiation.
Truth. Truth. Not undifferentiated, but incontestable truth.
Absolute truth.
Absolute truth is ain't owed nobody. That's absolute truth.
Then there's
anything short of that is not absolute truth.
Well, if you think about it, the more Hashem contracted himself into each world, the more obscure the truth got.
Right.
So this is why we have Torah in this world, and the more we delve into the Torah, the deeper the world, the deeper and more the broadening of the truth speaks. Like you're looking through this tiny little funnel, and when you go into that bit, it's like an outward.
You're saying even in this world, we can.
Well, in this world, you have to peel back the layers, like an onion. If you want to get to the truth, you have to go into parties. You have to really get into the thick of it.
Right.
Actually, if you look at things on a surface level, you're not going to get the truth. And you know, that's the world that we're living in, which is like, you know, there's much, you know, which is all about this world, everyone living their own truth. When you mean your own truth, there isn't one truth. And, you know, and the more you get to that truth, the more into your own truth you'll get. Like, the more of a Hashem you become, the more of yourself you become.
Lose your, what is it? Lose yourself.
Lose yourself in the service of others.
No, the you find yourself when you lose.
The only way to find this is
the only way to find yourself is to lose yourself.
To lose Mahatma Gandhi. The only way
I'm
to find
lost.
Yourself is to lose yourself. All right,
someone find me.
This is what, and this is something that I realized that for many years. I mean, you could realize it quicker.
I mean, there's no answer to it.
I'll tell you what, I believe it. Wherever is a saying of mine, wherever you find paradox, you find God. Because paradox means in our reality, we can't reconcile. They're called opposites. In his reality, there is no opposite. Dark, right? Light and dark are the same thing.
That's so sleep is true.
So just
because
accept
you're alive and you're in your...
No, stop. Stop. Stand back. Just stand back. Don't try to resolve. Except the fact that there are things that are opposite down here and can't be resolved is an indication of how deep they are.
That can also be the most painful experience ever. The most painful experience when you realize.
But the pain is just your ego.
No, it is. But it could also be the pain of the neshama. But the neshama doesn't feel pain, but it's the friction of the neshama in the body at that moment. But
the feeling of friction is a feeling that can be transcended. If you,
it's the,
if
it's
you
the
drop,
the death of I.
There's no word drop.
That's
the
pain.
That's the ego.
When you realize that you're not, you know,
right.
who you think you are, then
right.
all of a sudden
and this
the pain
is not what you think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
it's designed for something else.
AKA midlife.
Right. Well, then. Then you have to come back to the eye, right? So the Ratzo Bashur, yeah.
So what if our image is past?
What is
bingo?
What is it? What's the question?
You mean how you experience that? I'll tell you how.
Wait, what was the question then?
How can we have any experiential reality?
Oh, that's all my questions.
Past, present, and future all of them.
Oh, what do you
that, mean? He's asking, how can you experience, how can you live with the experience of timelessness or the collapse of time?
Oh, in the middle of the mitzvah.
In the middle of anything that you get lost in the zone.
Flow.
Everyone can have their own.
Like when you're sitting
where you apply this. You apply this in mountain climbing, you apply it in position ship. When you're improvising on a tune and you're not thinking at all about the chords, you're just, your fingers are doing the walking.
I had that experience on Shabbat.
And that's just something I can relate to. Yeah. Not that I can do it, I can relate to it. And I'm sure there are other things that you can, you know, where you just get, there's just, it's
like
not you and the medium, it's you and the medium are merged. You ever had that experience?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the more focused we are on the moment we're in, then the more that we actually do tap into beyond the moment. You know, it's when you have an intense focus, because so often people, especially today, are busy multitasking. They think they're being more efficient. They're being way less efficient. And when we actually are focused on the moment and harnessing it, then it's like we're actually living it, and through living it, suddenly, there's like this flow. In the 90s, Howard Gardner talked about flow in terms of brain function, and how when someone he literally said flow, that when it comes from being focused, and it also comes from a happiness, from a contentment, and it doesn't mean being content with the reality that we're in Gullis, but it means a happiness and contentment to live in the moment that we're in.
A presence of mind.
Yes, exactly. Presence, to be truly present and mindful.
Being happy, right? Finding that point of happiness inside of yourself.
Absolutely.
Where you're completely content with no matter what the circumstances.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure if content is the right word. I think tamid. I read something recently regarding tamid. It's a steadfastness that no matter what's happening, whether it appears to be good or it appears not to be good in our eyes, that we are truly, there's this an amazing story where I'm trying to remember who it was about and where exactly I read it. The person was a survivor from Europe living in Arzisroel, and he was a Rebbe within Yeshiva. I don't remember which Yeshiva, and if I remember, then I'll let you know next week. But what happened was they had used a particular heksher that was certainly a good heksher for many years in that yeshiva, and another group wanted to disgrace the kashrus agency that was being used in order that their own should be used. And they came to him, and he said, look, I know that what I'm using is reliable. And they said, well, if you don't change, then we'll absolutely say that you're using treif, you're doing this, we'll embarrass you. And he said to them very calmly, like nothing about his demeanor changed, he said, you know, I saw my father have his beard pulled off where his face was bloodied. I saw my son shot and in my own arms. And then he and I, we were thrown into a pile of dung, and I later buried him. He said, nothing could embarrass me that could ever compete with that. And he said, but we'll praise you if you do this. We'll praise you. And he said, and I learned from, and I don't remember which Gadol it was from, you know, from that previous generation in Europe. And he said, and nothing you do can give me the same sense of self as having the fehair from this, you know, whoever the Gadol was. And they left him alone, you know, because they saw that there was nothing, equanimity is the word, you know, in terms of Hamid. It's not contentness. It's tamid. It's equanimity.
Good.
Beautiful. Wow. That's a crazy story.
Maybe we'll leave that.
I don't know if I even like equanimity. Or
the last word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I probably
spoke
like,
come back,
please.
By the way,
what a
figure. Some of us are friendly with a guy named Moshe Chris, and yes, he has a whole piece on flow. The Kabbalah of Flow.
Oh,
so if you're interested in the
inter-inclusion,
Okay, we're winding up now. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
What?
We're still doing it.
Yeah. And we can